gonna go. And getting there, so I go to D.C., and we had a good time. A lot of stuff there to see, and if you ain't got time, you ain't gonna see it. We spent, you could say one full day, because we spent like half a day in the Holocaust and then went back and spent another half day in the Holocaust Museum. And that's a quite interesting museum to go to. And personally, I think everyone ought to have to go to it, especially our children. And gives you a whole new idea of why people fight, why there's wars. Because if I thought that was coming, trust me, we need to pay attention to that. Verse 1, I know we've been in chapter 4, but I told you we're going to be in chapter 4 for a bit. Verse 1 of Revelation 4, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the voice, the first voice which I heard was it as it was as it were, I can't even read, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. And then he says this, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. That's where we're going to kind of focus right this moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the blessings you give us. We thank you, Lord, for your word that we can study. Lord, and we can get comfort from it, rejoicing from it, and Lord, to realize that you're in control no matter what all's going on. We see a lot going on in the world, and Lord, it just to be honest, it worries us, but Lord, we know that you're in control. We know that your hand is with us, and we thank you for that. I ask you now to be with us as we go into your word. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
So while we're up there, we get to go a little closer to the Capitol. Last time I was there, they had it fenced off and you couldn't get in the up in the area. We go to the Capitol and it's not fenced off, and you're able to pretty much get right up there to it, you know. Now you can't go in. Well, you can go in, unless you got water and you don't want to dump it out like my wife. They said, you got to dump your water out. And she said, I ain't dumping my water out, so we didn't go in. Well, water there's like $5 a bottle everywhere you go. So when you have water, you keep it. But anyway, we did get to cruise around. Well, while we're there, we hear all this chanting going on. Big riot, or not riot, protest. Well, right across the street from the Capitol is, it's a big court. The Supreme Court. And what are they in there discussing? Abortion. So this is sad. I'm just going to be up front with you. We walk up to it. It's across the street from us. I got videos of it. You got this massive group of reprobates, just be honest with you. And they've got some reprobate up there talking. And then right over here, you got this small, tiny little group of Christians. And they're talking. And it's all going on at the same time as whoever's got the loudest speakers. And if I had have had my knife with me, I think I could have fixed the one speaker. It was a little bit, and I think I could have helped it. But I didn't have it. I had left it in the room because I didn't want to have to hide it again. I'll tell you that story later. But the more I sat there, and I'm praying for these guys, because they're doing their best to present pro-life and talk about it. These folks are just, belligerent, to be honest with you. Really the best word, they're reprobates. And I don't expect any different out of them. And so I'm praying for these guys. But the more I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? That's where we're at. More people are behind their movement than are behind God. And so that brings up that verse that I just read. It says at the end of verse 1, "And I will show thee things which must be hereafter." People, we are in the last days. We're in the days that as Peter or maybe Paul or both, they said it's going to wax worse and worse. And we went to another area. Well, we went over to the U.S. Treasury, and I wanted to go see where Uncle Joe was at living. I even asked a cop where he was living, and he just chuckled. And I said, "Where's Uncle Joe's house?" He shook his head. He's laughing. He says, "It's right around there." And I said, "But you can't get real close." And I said, "Well, he's probably sleeping anyway." He said, "Yeah, in the basement." But as we're going around there, there's another protest. Now, I didn't go down to it because it was massive. I think it was Palestinian Israel stuff, and I didn't go down there to really check it out because it's like, go get a job, you know. But anyway, but you could hear them. We were probably two blocks from there, from where they were doing it, and man, it was loud. Cops everywhere. The state sound, it's not a state. District of Columbia's most important sound is the siren. You hear that? I thought we heard it a lot here. No. It is constant. Ambulances, police, fire trucks, all the time going somewhere. That place is a mess. But, you know, after this, it means after all of what John had, the Lord had revealed to John, we read about the churches. Honestly, you can't narrow them down and say this was one age, this was one age, because all of these churches exist from that time all the way to now. There's churches that are deadbeat churches. There's churches that are kind of lukewarm. There's churches that are really on fire. You know, so you have all of those churches. And, you know, so as we see it here in verse 1, it's the rapture that takes place. It's called up the Lord's people. Now, you know, he mentions a trumpet, and it's when finally the doors of heaven are opened up, the rapture of all true Christians take place that come up hither. And it's going to be heard all over the world. It's not going to just be, how many of you have heard people preach, "Oh, when the Lord busts that eastern sky open in the morning," you know? It's going to be dark somewhere. You know, it ain't going to be, because I know when it's morning in Henderson, it ain't morning in Africa. You know, so, but it's going to be heard all over the world. Doesn't matter what time, because honestly, the Lord doesn't live in our little time. He's not secluded to our little time. We're all stuck in time. Each day goes by, we can't change anything or what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. But the Lord is not restrained by that. Amen. So he's going to call us home. We're going to go up hither, and we're going to go. All right, we're going to do a test. When the rapture happens, how many say we're going to heaven? Raise your hand. Okay, how many say we're going up in the air? All right. You're both right to a point. We're gonna get that here in a minute, in a moment. So the things which must be hereafter, there is a lot of stuff that's going to happen hereafter. From chapter 4 all the way through verse 22 is the hereafter. Some of it we are seeing, and some of it we are not going to see. Now, when we get further into Revelation, you're going to find that no more is the church mentioned on earth. The church is only mentioned of as being in heaven. It's not mentioned anymore until Revelation 19, verse 7 maybe, verse 8, somewhere right in there. It picks back up with the church. Now, verse 2 says, and immediately, not later on, not in a little while, but immediately, when he heard that come up hither, immediately he said, I was in the Spirit. Now, I've read commentaries on what did it mean he was in the Spirit. Well, it said I was in the Spirit. You can't get any deeper than that. Yeah. Do I understand being in the Spirit and being somewhere? Well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. You know, last Sunday I was here in spirit. But not like John was in the Spirit and where he went. He says, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, we got to stop right there, because when you get to studying that, hang on. Now, I set this phone right here, but I can also set this phone over here. It's a setting something up. So let me explain, which will make sense of why I asked you what I did a while ago. Really, if you read it literally, it means was being set in heaven. So we're going to say this is heaven right here. John saw this throne being set in heaven. It was somewhere else. Don't panic, because it says in, what is it, Thessalonians, whatever chapter that is, where it talks 13 through 18, it says we're going to meet him in the air. Uh-huh. But what's the first thing that happens to Christians when they are raptured? What's the first thing? Well, now we get changed. But what's the first thing that happens immediately? Meet him in the air, but what's going to happen? Judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14:10 and 2 Corinthians 5:10. We've got to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and be judged. Now, we're not going to be judged for our sins. That's been taken care of, amen? But we're gonna go to the judgment seat of Christ. How would I put this? Transferred, translated. I don't know. We got three heavens. We got a heaven out here where the birds are roaming around at, and then we got another heaven up there. And then we got the third heaven, which is where God's at. God lives in the north, by the way. Bible says so. And so we know that that's a long way off. I ain't sure how many light years that is. But we're going to travel at a rapid amount of speed, so it doesn't really matter. They just think these UFOs, and crew, we're going to pass them right by. Basically, where John starts talking is in the presence of where God is. When you break it down, you're like, wait a second. We're going to go and meet Jesus in the air and go to the judgment seat. So it made sense to me when I got to digging into that the throne was somewhere here, wherever Jesus calls us to, and then it's being set up, as it says in verse 2, where God is. Because here in a moment, you read on, and we're going to find out they've already got their rewards. So they had to, we all had to get our rewards before we could go up there. John is seeing it. He said, come up hither. He bypassed all that because that's not taking place yet. And so he goes there and he's getting his rewards. And the Bible says we're going to meet the Lord in the air. So there shall be a judgment for the born-again believers. Not for salvation, because you already got that. Not to get rid of your sins. That's all been taken care of. But it's for our works, our rewards, whether a loss of rewards or whether a gain of rewards. Yeah. Now, I want to tell you, 1 John, I think chapter 2, and I forgot to write the verse down, but right in there in several other places, don't let somebody mess with you and deceive you and mess you out of getting rewards. Because you can lose your rewards. You see, we're still in heaven. So let's say I've got 7 or 8 or 10 rewards. Because I'm faithful and I preach the word. I'm going to get the crown. It says so just because I preach the word. But what if I decided I'm done with this mess? I'm going to go fish in the Potomac. I ain't sure there's any fish in there, but you know, I didn't see not one soul fishing. I saw people scooting around in boats, nobody fishing. I'm like, what's the matter with these people? Man, I'd have been out there. I may be afraid of what they may drag up. You can lose some of your rewards. Don't let nobody mess you over in your rewards. Because if I got deceived and I started not preaching the truth, because listen, you water it down and put on some flip-flops and maybe a little holy t-shirt and some tie-dye jeans, you know, like I used to wear. And I had a pair of Bales, had a big leather strip in them. They were cool. You know, I could put on them with some flip-flops or some sandals. My toe won't let me hold a flip-flop on, so I'd need a toe sandal. And I could, get us a full-fledged rock and, well, you can't call it rock and roll. Some kind of mess they play. Get us a rapper up here and rap some gospel. And, man, we could just fill the place up. But I'm going to be losing some rewards. The Lord's going to be saying, come here, Gabriel. He done lost his mind. Look at this nut. You know, you young people, most of us in here are just on the edge of death. We all may be, but you young people, do not let people lead you astray. Sandy, find me that verse. 1 John chapter 2, I think it is, where you lose your rewards. You can't, maybe it's not there. I don't remember now. You can lose you young people, don't let some husband come along. Don't look at me that way. You're going to get married one day if you go the normal route. Trust me, you too, Jessica. I know your mom don't want to hear it. Gracie and Stella. Dash back there is going to find some woman that'll stick with him. And he's gonna get her married one day. He's going to get her tied up, old pseudo back there. She'll be Jessica pseudo whatever. Be Jessica Cassandra. Who knows? And listen, that boy or that girl can drag you out of where you ought to be.
All right.
where you ought to, how you ought to be serving the Lord. And Aya, one of these days, is going to run across some dude, and he's going to sweep her off her feet, and she thinks she's got him all tied up.
Tell it.
She ain't tied nothing.
Right.
Because when the other half that you're with, oh, I want you to go to church with me. And come to find out, they don't even go to church. Second John, verse 8, what chapter? Oh, it ain't no chapter. Let me read that. I want to read it to you so you know I ain't crazy. Second John, verse 8, and there's only one chapter. Look to yourselves. Now listen, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. In other words, what you worked for. You ain't working for your salvation, but you are working for the Lord.
Amen.
And if you ain't working for the Lord, maybe you need to get saved so you will.
Amen.
You work for the Lord, but that ye receive a full what? Reward. We can lose some of what we got. We can lose some of already what the Lord's got laid up for us. We don't want to do that. We want to gain that whole thing the Lord has for us. I want every blessing that the Lord has for me while I'm here, and I want every reward and blessing the Lord has for me when I get there. I don't want to get there and Him say, well, I had this wheelbarrow, but here's a spoon. No, I want the full amount. I want everything the Lord has for me, has for me to have, what He wants me to have. I don't want just a little bit of what the Lord's got for me. I want it all. And that's what we ought to say. We ought to have it dug into our hearts. We want what the Lord wants for us. And He wants to bless you, and He wants to reward you. And some of us might have already lost some. We could have. And you ever thought you should have talked to somebody about the Lord and you didn't? Well, you might have already had it in there. I don't know if it really works totally that way, but I'm going to say it does according to what I read. So it says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, so I'm going to say, okay, here we go. The judgment seat has already taken place. We've already got our rewards. The throne is set up there in heaven. God is sitting on the throne. It says, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardonyx stone, and there was a rainbow about the throne in the sight. Like in sight, like unto an emerald. Now, we got to stop here for a second. Listen, they have perverted the rainbow. Perverted it. Makes me want to puke. I saw some rainbow junk when I was back east. Disgusting. That rainbow the Lord put in the sky for Noah as a promise, and they went and perverted it. I want you to understand, it's the Lord's whether they like it or not.
Amen.
And it says, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardonyx stone. There is write-ups about this. Unreal, you can read from now till next week. And each of these theologians, they've all got their own idea. I'm going to just be honest with you. I read about God, and I read about what people know when they see Him, and I don't know in my vocabulary if I can really explain it. I don't know what we'll see. But I can tell you right now, it says every time they've come in the presence, they've all bowed down.
Amen.
It's going to be awesome. You know, I can read you. I wrote some of the stuff down. It's a red gemstone from Sardis. You ever been to Sardis and got one? So I don't know what it looks like. It's cool. It's neat. It's awesome. It strikes the eye. You see it and you're like, whoa. You know, I trust me. Whenever you read about God, you're going to be so awestruck, you're not going to be able to describe it anyway. And I'd say John was having a hard time. And he, verse 4, and round about the throne were 24 and 20 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. There's a lot of info about the 24 elders. Who are the 24 elders? Well, it's the patriarchs, and I've got them all written down right here. 24 of them, chronological order. Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahil, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Arphaxad, Salah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Teran, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and Perez. I don't know. This I do know. I've heard all of my life. I've read lots of commentary on who these are. And the only thing that honestly makes sense to me is it's a representation of all the saved. I don't know of any other way to look at it. Because when you look at what they've got white robes. They've got crowns. And let me read you chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That's got to be all the saved. They have to represent us. It says on down in a few more verses in chapter 4 that they lay their crown. There it is, verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. The 24 elders apparently represent, from all of what I can dig up on them, represent all of the saved, all of the ones that were raptured out. That's got to be who they are, because otherwise I don't see where I'm there. I know what it says I do. I give my rewards back to the Lord. That's why I want. See, the more rewards I've got, the more I'm going to be able to give back to the Lord for doing what for me? He died on the cross for me, provided my way to have eternal life with Him. He helps me through my everyday life, blesses me every single day. Sometimes you think, well, I just feel rotten today. But think about it. You're still breathing. Yeah. You're being blessed. Amen. Ain't none of us here starving.
No.
Matter of fact, I gained a little bit when I went out there and average walking 4 miles a day. And I can't get her to walk around the block. But yet in D.C., she walked 4 miles a day. And matter of fact, I wanted to rent one of them little scooters because I rented one last time. Oh, we need to walk. Do what? Oh, it's only just right up the road, honey. Yeah, a mile and a half later. Oh, she's doing this. That means I got to move on. See, that's not being mean. That's saying move on. Oh, I am glad to be home, to be honest. So round about the throne, we see the 24 seats and 24 elders. clothed in white raiment, got crowns of gold on their head. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Oh, I got to stop again. God's one spirit. True. Seven spirits of God. This phrase really, it's not separate, okay? I got it laid out a little different. It's the sevenfold, I guess, of the Holy Spirit. The way I put it down. And it's pretty significant that there's seven distinct names given for the Holy Spirit. You see, there's seven names in the Bible given for the Holy Spirit. Amen. And they're pretty awesome when you look them up and study them. So if you got something, write down. I'm going to tell you. Number one, Spirit of Truth. John 16:13. That's what the Holy Spirit's called, the Spirit of Truth. There's one. Number two, Spirit of Holiness. Romans 1:4. Now, think about the Spirit of Truth. That's number one. Think about the Spirit of Truth. Right now, you can find the truth being preached behind the pulpits in churches. You may have to search for it, but you can find it. According to the book of Amos, chapter 8, I believe it was, there's going to be a famine of the Word. Not of food, not of water, but of the Word. They're going to run to and fro, and they are not going to be able to find it. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit ain't going to be here. They're not going to get the truth. Once the rapture happens, the Holy Spirit's gone. There's not going to be any real truth anymore. Now, number one, Spirit of Truth, John 16:13. Number two, Spirit of Holiness, Romans 1:4. Number three, Spirit of Faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13. What's that one? Number three, Spirit of Faith. Number four, Spirit of Wisdom. You see, that's where our wisdom comes from. Ephesians 1:17. Number five, Spirit of Power. 2 Timothy 1:7. Listen, we have the power of God through our prayers. That same power that took Jesus from the grave, we've got when we pray. Which one was that? Five. Number six, Spirit of Grace. Hebrews 10:29. We live in what they call the age of grace. Think about that. All I had to do to get saved was accept the fact that God sent Jesus to die in my place, and I asked Jesus to save me. Boom. Amen. But in the tribulation period, you say, I believe in God. I'm going to trust in God. There ain't going to be no grace. There's no grace here because the Holy Spirit's gone. You're going to lose your head at the guillotine. And I done forgot how many thousands of guillotine the American government owns. But it's a bunch. They didn't buy them for souvenirs. They got them to use. They're going to remove folks' head if you say, hey, I'm not going to bow to the Antichrist. I am not going to take his mark. You are either going to run and eventually starve to death, or you're going to lose your head in a guillotine. And what the way that, huh?
I think it's 80,000.
Yes, 86,000. What is it, Dave? 256,000. So it's a bunch of guillotines. What are you going to do with them? They didn't buy them, like I said, to take up space. Oh, we needed to fill this room. No. They've got a purpose behind that. Trust me. Oh, how could our world get to the way it's going to get? Well, I could get to where it's gotten already.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, think, just back up 2 or 3 or 4 years and look where we're at right now. Unreal. Do you know they're trying, a certain person who lives in the White House is trying to shut down and will probably get it done. One of the biggest Christian colleges in America. It's right over here in Arizona. Doing his best to shut it down. He said it's got to cease. Now, I don't know. I've never read their statement of faith. I don't know what all they believe in. They may be a bunch of hoodlums. I don't know. But they have a right to do what they're doing because we live in a supposedly free country.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
They have the right to teach it.
Yes.
I don't agree with Mormonism. I don't agree with Jehovah's Witness. I think they're all lies and they're a cult.
Yes.
But they have the right to do what they're doing because it's freedom.
Amen.
I didn't believe it that the Hindu temple needed to be built just a few blocks from here. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to nag at them because if I want to build a church, I don't want them nagging at me.
Amen.
And by the way, I've read on the news they're not going to build it. It's amazing what prayer does. I ain't sure why they ain't going to build it, but I got a feeling it had a lot to do with prayer because we had some people meeting here that were going against this thing, and I told them right up front. I said, they said, Pastor, what do you think about all of this? And I said, I'll be up front with you. I said, I'm not against them building. I said, I don't think they ought to build in a neighborhood. I said, this church was here before this was a neighborhood. I said, I personally don't think they ought to build right there. I said, but. I said, they do have a right. I said, you have a right to protest it. I said, but if you're going to win with money, I said, you might as well go home. I said, you can't outdo the money they got. Now, they got lots. I said, but one thing they can't overcome, I said, is prayer. I said, prayer will shut it down. Could be. I don't know. I'm just saying. But, hey, we never know. We live in that time of grace, and praise God we do. Because it's not hard to get saved. We hear the gospel, and we have to make a decision. We neither reject it or we didn't accept it.
Amen.
Well, that was good, huh? That was number 6. Number 7, Spirit of Glory, 1 Peter 4:14. Let me read that. 1 Peter 4, verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you.
Amen.
And their part is, on their part, he is evil spoken, but on your part, he is glorified.
Amen.
You see, I told him this morning at the celebration service. I said, listen, Brother John, he was irritating sometimes. And I irritated him sometimes just because it was easy. But he gave God the glory.
Amen.
His light shined before men. I mean, it did. And God got the glory. See, in our life, that's what people need to see. They need to see our light shine, and God the Father gets the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Because that's what it's all about, is giving my Lord and Savior the glory. So we're going to pick up at verse 6, probably Wednesday, but then again, maybe not. We'll see how the Lord lays it on my heart. Let's stand. We're going to have a verse of invitation this evening. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Lord, I don't know how you've spoken to people tonight. what may be some changes in their life, or maybe someone's here that needs to get saved. Whatever it may be, give them the strength and the courage to step out, to come to this altar, to speak with me, whatever it may be about. Lord, we do know that if we ask, that you give us strength in everything that we need to do for you. And when we're weak, that's when you're strong. Sometimes we have some things in our life and we don't understand why they're happening. But as Paul said, 12:9 of 2 Corinthians, Lord, remove this from me. Three times he asked. And the Lord said, no, I'm going to leave that because I can. People can see the strength of me through you. Because of that, that's what they need to see in our lives. Give us the courage we need to let our light shine. In D.C., Lord, you watched us walking around. We prayed everywhere we went and talked to people. And my wife wore her Jesus shirt. And there was people all of a sudden, oh, I like your shirt. Lord, always let our light shine before men and give you the glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. And Sister Diane plays, every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe you need to ask yourself, am I going to heaven 100%? I'm going to be up front with you. If you're not 100% sure, do not leave this building without knowing that you're going to heaven. You need to know that. Above anything else in this world, you need to know that you are going to heaven. Because listen, death is certain. It's going to happen. We don't know when. But if you don't know 100%, you ask the Lord to come into your heart and save you, and he says he will. It's that easy. I can't lay my hands on you and make it happen. I can't put you in enough water to make it happen. You ain't got enough money to buy it. It's all that if you'll confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save you, you'll be saved. Well, I thought you had to turn from all your evil ways. Well, the Lord will take care of that. The first thing you got to do is acknowledge him. Once you acknowledge him, he'll take care of the rest.